ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 3, and the verse is number 3. So it's not written on a board because it's a really very special long verse. So I think I will just read alone the Sanskrit. I mean, it's really long, but it's always Prabhupada say, even if we don't understand the words, because it's pure Krishna consciousness, the verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's always purifying our mind. So I will just read because it's nice. But after we can just directly read from the word-to-word translation. अतः तम विकृत भुज युगलाद्वयम् निरन्मयम् पुरुषा विशेषम् कपिशकुशेयम् बरादरम् मुराशि विलसत्सिवत्सललमम् तरावरावनारुहावनमलत्सूर्यामृतम् मणिगदादिभि उपालक्षितम् स्फुतकिरणप्रवरा मुकुता कुण्डला कतरा कथि सूत्रहारा केयूरा नि Nupura Dhyanga Bhushana Vibhushitam Ridvik Sadasya Griya Patayo Dana Hivotama Danam Upalabhya Sabahu Manam Aranena Vanata Sirshana Upatastu. So maybe you can repeat after me the word for word. Ata, thereafter. Ha, certainly. Tam, him. Aviskrita Bhuja Yugaladvayam, a little long, who manifests himself with four arms. Hiranmayam, very bright. Purusha Vishesham, the topmost of all living beings. Purushottam. Kapisha Kosheya Ambaradaram, wearing a yellow silk garment, Urashi on the chest, Vilasha beautiful, Shivatsa called Shivatsa, Lalamam possessing the mark, Daravara by a conch shell, Vanaruha, lotus flower, Vanamala, garland of forest flower, Achuri, disc, Amritamani, the Kostuba gem, Gada Adibi, and by a club and other symbol, Upalakshitam, symptomize, Sphuta Kirana, radiant, Pravara, excellent, Mukuta, helmet, Kundala, hearing, Kataka, bracelet, Katishutra, girdle, Ara, necklace, Keyura, harmlet, Nupura, anchor bells, Adi, and so on. Anga, of the body, Bhushana, with ornaments, Vibhushitam, decorated, Ridvik, the priest Sadashya associates Griyapataya and King Nabi Adana, poor persons, Eva, like Uttamadanam, a great treasure, Upalabhya, having achieved Sabahubmanam, with great regard, Aranena, ingredient for worship, Avanata, bent, Sirshana, their heads, Upatashtu, worshipped. Translation on purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Vishnu appeared before King Nabi with four arms. He was very bright and he appeared to be the best of all personalities. Around the lower portion of his body, he wore a yellow silken garment. On his chest was the mark of Shivatsa, which always displayed beauty. He carried a conch shell, lotus flower, disc and club, and he wore a garland of forest flower and a Kastuba gem. He was beautifully decorated with a helmet, earrings, bangle, belt, pearl necklace, armlet, anchor bells, and other bodily ornaments bedecked with radiant jewels. Seeing the Lord present before them, King Nabi and his priest and associate felt just like poor people who have suddenly attained great riches. They received the Lord and respectfully bent their head and offered him things in worship. It is distinctly mentioned here that the Supreme Personality of Godhead did not appear as an ordinary human being. He appeared before King Nabi and his associate as the best of all personalities, Purushottama. As stated in the Veda, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also a living being, but he is the Supreme Living Being. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 7, Lord Krishna himself says, Mata parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. No one is more attractive or more authoritative than Lord Krishna. That is one of the differences between God and an ordinary living being. According to his description of the transcendental body of Lord Vishnu, the Lord can easily be distinguished from all other living beings. Consequently, Maharaj Nabi and his priest and associate all offered the Lord obeisances and began to worship him with various things. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 22, Yam labdva chaparam labam manyate nadikam tata. That is, upon gaining this, one thing that there is no greater gain. When one realizes God and sees the Lord face to face, one certainly thinks that he has gained the best of all things. Rasho pyasya param drisva nirvartate. When one experiences a higher taste, his consciousness is fixed. After seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one ceases to be attracted by anything material. One then remains steady in his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namo Namo Prabhupada Priyadasaya Jagannath Yatrananda Mutaye Bhakta Sukaya Krishna Kirtanena Narasingena Rakshitaya Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shri Vasadi Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, after King Nabi performed the sacrifice, the verse of today explained that Lord Vishnu appeared before him, and there's a nice, very beautiful description of his form and opulence. It is said that he was very bright and that he appeared to be the best of personality. So there's description of different quality or different objects that are very specific to Lord Vishnu. As we know, Lord Vishnu, he has four arms. Although Krishna and Vishnu are the same personality, Lord Vishnu, he always appears with four arms, when Krishna is more a form of a human, like we know, with two arms. And it is explained for those of you who don't know that on his chest there was a mark of Shivatsa, and it's a little hair, white hair, that Lord Vishnu, he always has, and that's the way you can differentiate. It is explained in a scripture that in a Vaikuntha planet, on each planet, Lord Vishnu is present, and most of the other living entity, liberated soul, they also have a body very similar to Lord Vishnu, also blue and four arms and so on. But there is this difference that is particular to Lord Vishnu, that he possesses this mark of Shivaj, which is always display beauty, and it's very beautiful. Also, he carries conch shell in his four arms, the conch shell, the lotus flower, the disc, and the club. And he wore a garland of forest flower and called Kostuba gem. A garland of flower and a gem called Kostuba, which is also a particularity of Lord Vishnu. And he has all kind of decoration, and it is explained how the helmet, the earring, bangle, pearl necklace. And usually people, they not so much anymore, but in Vedic time, they were, even the men, they were actually have many jewel, earrings especially, and many beautiful jewel. And usually it's made to enhance the beauty of the person. But in the case of Lord Vishnu, because he's so naturally beautiful, the bodily feature, it's that you don't really know which one is enhancing the other. It's also the body of Lord Vishnu enhances actually the beauty of his ornaments. So there is all description like this. He has necklace, armlet, anchor bells, and other bodily ornament, bedeck with radiant jewel. So it's very, very beautiful appearance that King Nabi and his priests and associates, they saw, very beautiful. And it is explained that when they saw the Lord before them, they felt just like poor people who have suddenly attained great riches. We are accustomed to have an evaluation of what is it to be rich and what is beautiful in this world, different object. But when there is this experience by a devotee to see the personal body of Lord Vishnu, actually everything that we have seen before, it seemed like very ordinary, very common. There is no comparison with the beauty and the opulence of the body of Lord Vishnu with anything else in this world. So for that, even a king like King Nabi, we understand, and the king is certainly one of the most rich person on the planet, especially at this time in history, in the Vedic time. The king, they were full of wonderful opulence, but they say still that when they saw Lord Vishnu in such a beautiful appearance, actually they feel just like they were very poor. Anything that they possess have no comparison with what they saw actually at this point. So it's a very unique experience. And because of that, the verse ends by saying how they received the Lord very respectfully, and they bend their head and offer him thing in worship. So that's a very exceptional experience that one may have in his life when he sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one realizes, Prabhupada say, God and see the Lord face to face, one certainly thinks that he has gained the best of all things. Raso pyasa param dritsva nivatate. There is no doubt, in other words, at this point anymore. There is always a competition in this world, and that's actually the base motor of an endeavor of people in the society. It's to get a higher position over the general mass. Everyone wants to become more successful in materials, opulence, want to have more and more, possess more and more beautiful things. That's the nature in this material world, and is a constant competition. But here it is explained how that one realizes God and see the Lord face to face at this point only, and certainly the person thinks that he has gained the best of all things. In other words, it's only at this point that we can be really fully satisfied. The nature of this material energy, it's very ungrateful in the sense that you take birth and you start to grow and play as a child and start to possess few toys, and there's not really a big difference when you become an adult. You also continue the same kind of activity, although the toys seem more serious, having a car, having a house, having power, having beautiful wife or husband, but it's still a desire, a childish desire to acquire more and more toys in this material world. But the very nature of this material energy is that you never been satisfied, whatever you get, because you always want more. You are either considering, desiring strongly to get something, or you get the thing but you realize it's not as great you were thinking, so you get frustrated. So mostly in the material world, because human beings, they are generally most influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance, they always are in these two position in consciousness. Either they have a very very burning desire to get things, or they are frustrated because what they have doesn't give them so much pleasure actually. So, and more we have, and more we want. And you can see the history of people who are so rich, so you have so much opulence, and although they have, in our eyes, the best of position, we dream of that. Actually, when you read book about these people, you can find actually they are not happy at all. In many cases, they are actually very not satisfied in their position. So it's the nature of the material energy, because the lust is never satisfied by any material object. That's the nature. So generally, we are not happy. But in the case only when it is explained here that when one realizes God and see the Lord face to face, one certainly thinks that he has gained the best thing of all things. At this point, there is no doubt, oh, is it the best, or is it really the good thing I got? No, it's really the realization the perfect realization that this is actually the perfection of life, to see Krishna face to face, just to see what to speak of having a relation and starting, as we understand in the spiritual world, the main thing that we are doing, the living entity, the liberated soul are doing in the spiritual world, they just run and play and eat and dance with Krishna. But even just to see Krishna, to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this actually will fully satisfy us. Prabhupada explained also that when one experiences a higher test, his consciousness is fixed and there is no any more duality in the mind and consciousness, and the consciousness is fully satisfied. After seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one ceases to be attracted by anything material. One then remains steady in his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, of course, to see Krishna is not an easy thing. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so merciful that although we may be very much contaminated, and in this way we can't have a really transcendental vision of the Absolute Truth, Krishna is so merciful that he appears as his deity in this world in order to bring a pleasure for the satisfaction of his devotee, even his very neophyte or beginner devotee. And we can actually, if we develop a relationship with Krishna as a deity, as a murti, we can actually get a little test of what is it to be satisfied, even if we are any kind of condition, and that's the nature of the Vaishnav. So many different Vaishnav actually come daily to see the deity, and some apparently in the eyes of materialistic person, some devotee appear to be poor, some other rich, some other appear to be more happy than another. So many different conditions materially, it seems like it is the same for materialistic society. But the Vaishnav society, the devotee society, is all centered, especially in a community like we are in Radhadesh. Everything is centered on the deity. All our activity, we should more and more be conscious and realize that is only object of our action and thought is Krishna in the temple. It's actually a very important aspect of Krishna consciousness. In fact, I was reading yesterday or 2 days ago in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was an whole explanation, as we know in Kali Yuga, in present society, the main way to, and actually the only way to attain perfection is by chanting the holy name. And Prabhupada went on to explain very elaborately how actually only by chanting Hare Krishna we can attain perfection. And he explained how in other age there were different ways to attain perfection. And he referred to the last age, the Dvapara Yuga, how people, they were worshipping the deity very elaborately with all kind of, they put really their heart and their means, their opulence in the service of the deity. And Prabhupada explained how in this age it's not really possible, so it's by the chanting only that we can actually become fully Krishna conscious. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Shri Jagannath Baladeva Devi Subhadra ki, Shri Gaunitai ki. So I was reading this purport, this explanation of Prabhupada, and at this point I was thinking, oh yeah, actually, in one sense it's so important, we should just be focused on just chanting Hare Krishna. That's the should be our main consideration. Wherever we are, whatever we are doing, we should chant Hare Krishna. But what was interesting that after this whole description of the importance of chanting the Maha Mantra, Prabhupada start to actually make the point how, in fact, although it's true that by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra we can attain full perfection, although it's true, we still need absolutely to engage ourselves in the worship of the deity in the present age also. And he explained how actually that's of the utmost importance. And if we think naively that only if I just chant Hare Krishna, I don't really need to this whole worship of the deity, it will be sufficient, because it's said in the scripture. So, but if Prabhupada make really the point, we should understand that's not for us. People who are able, like Haridas Thakur, or such a caliber of devotee, to just sit in a forest and chant constantly and be purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they are very, very advanced Vaishnavas who are already much, much above all the different level of Krishna consciousness. But he explained that although it is true that in Kali Yuga chanting is the most is the way to attain perfection, in fact, as a devotee, if we, because we have, and that's really I was thinking, that's really actually addressing specifically us Western devotees who have been born out of the Vaishnava culture, the Vedic culture, who start our life with very, very bad habits. And he said, Prabhupada, that because of so many past habits, if someone don't engage in worship the deity, those bad habits, they will quickly come back. In other words, it will be very difficult to constantly chant Hare Krishna purely if we don't engage ourselves in some kind of worship and some service to the deity, because it will we are so actually conditioned that we will miss this essential the essential aspect of Krishna consciousness, which is the relation between the deity and the devotee. And this actually aspect is very strong in order to make us remain pure. Because if we always focus on the deity, naturally we will not do bad action, because we know. I mean, if you are in the presence of someone, and you respect him and you want him to be pleased with you, you're not going to do the thing that he really don't want you to do. That's natural. So for a devotee, when he has this relation with the deity, he will naturally remain pure in his habits much more easily than if you live, let's say, very far away, you don't have any connection. Of course, you can say, the name of Krishna and Krishna is the same, there is no difference at all. But are we able to realize this? No. That's usually for us very difficult in most of the time. We don't realize this. Otherwise, we will not make so much offense when we chant, I guess. But Krishna is so merciful that he is appearing in this Kali Yuga, in the material world, as a deity. And the form is so beautiful, and all the different service enhance the beauty of Krishna, that it's very easy even for an ordinary person to become attracted. And that's actually the point that Prabhupada make, that to have a relation like this with deity is of utmost importance in our Krishna consciousness. And that's why actually if you really analyze everything going on in the community, For a for a materialistic person, it may appear very similar to any other company or any other group. Everything is busy with his own activity, what he likes to do, and I do this, and you, I do the garden, and you do that. And it seems actually, if you have a materialistic vision, that there's not so much different. But when we become purified and we become to understand that actually Krishna is here, is present, it's not just a statue, it's really here. And everything's going on in a community, it's actually for his pleasure. And that's extremely important to have this understanding, because we will, by this proper consciousness, become more and more eager to serve Krishna. Krishna is so merciful and beautiful that there is actually it's the best person to serve, and we have only we have everything to gain. Like Prabhupada say here, it's funny, because in my house I was reading yesterday this verse, and it's in French, and they didn't translate the same words, the same actually, but it was funny, because when I read the English, I saw it was different. What was it? Yeah, when one experience relates to the fact to see God, when one experiences a higher test, his consciousness is fixed. In French, I don't know why, but the translation, they translate not a higher test, but a higher pleasure. They say pleasure. And that's very encouraging for a devotee, actually, this to realize that, contrary to the understanding of so many different spiritualists who think that the goal is to attain, in most of the cases, in personalists or the nihilists, to attain the void, or everything merged and there is no any more pleasure like we understand in the material world. It's just that we are immersed in the absolute truth. It's very, the proper understanding, it's much different, in a sense that actually when one become more and more purified and attain a higher consciousness, he is in fact testing a much, much more intense and higher pleasure that we could imagine. There is so many ways that a person thinks he can get pleasure in the material world, with a family, riches, sex life, or eating. So many, I mean, practically everything we do in this world is to get some kind of satisfaction, pleasure. And we get, at least according to our material consciousness, we think we get some kind of pleasure. But we have to understand, when one attains a higher position by becoming more and more Krishna consciousness, it's not that the pleasure concept disappears all of a sudden and you just merge in the void or whatever. No, actually the person is getting more and more pleasure, very intense, and we have difficulty to relate with this, because I guess it's many times due to our Judeo-Christian concept of spiritual life, that you know, you should worship God, no pleasure, should be, everything is becoming quite dry. But it's not at all, it's not dry, it's just the opposite. It's more dry. Material life is very dry in comparison to the pleasure of spiritual life, but it is pure in a sense. We know that is the pleasure we get, it's the pleasure we get by serving Krishna, by pleasing Krishna. That's what brings us pleasure. It's the sense of, oh, I'm doing something for Krishna and he will be more and more pleased, he will be happy. That's the real pleasure. But it's not that there is no pleasure. So in this way, if someone get this higher pleasure, as it is explained here, nothing else anymore in the material world will attract him. So that's the secret. Many times we wonder, how am I going to get free from all my material desire? How I'll become pure? And we wonder sometimes because we practice, and even after some, even after we practice for some time, it seems that they will never be vanquished, those desires. They are still present, sometimes a little more, sometimes they seem to diminish. But up, as soon as there is some material object, immediately the attraction comes back. So we may wonder, and in fact there is no way, the material energy is so strong, there is no way we can win this battle against the material attraction, because it's the very energy power of Krishna, although it's material, and we cannot compete with this. So the only actually way we will actually vanquish those desires, it's when we will get a test higher by being in contact with Krishna, and we will not be attracted. It will be just completely natural. Of course, if you are in a situation when you are unlimitedly more satisfied than in another, you don't. It's very easy not to be attracted anymore. You don't even have to make an effort to fight against those attractions because you already attracted by something so much better, and there is no comparison. So that's the position of a devotee, actually. Sometimes in the beginning we try to be very, to make austerity, and we think we're going to become strong, and it's a fact that because we have been so long in the material world enjoying grossly our sense, it's good in one sense to learn to be austere, but we should never think that by my own power of austerity I'm going to become detached and I will renounce. It will never work. It worked for some time apparently, but at one point the material energy is very strong and shoop, very quickly we can become attracted again. No, the way to do actually, it's maybe seem much more slow because we don't have so much love and attraction for Krishna. And as a conditioned soul, actually, everything is made in the world to not accept this fact that we are a servant of Krishna. So it seems actually very slow, this purification, but we should actually very much endeavor to increase our devotion, to learn how to purify ourselves by worshipping Krishna, by developing our relation with him. And in this way, we will become more and more satisfied, and we will be no anymore attracted by anything material in this world. And that's the position of advanced devotee. It's not that he's constantly in fear of failing. Of course, they say because of humility that devotee is always careful in this world. But in the same time, the advanced devotee, they are very much confident in their position because they depend on Krishna, and they know that Krishna he can actually vanquish all his obstacle, and he know that this attraction for Krishna is so great that nothing can compete with this attraction to Krishna. So to conclude again with our position, especially as member of Radhadesh resident, we should very much appreciate. I mean, so many times I have people who come in the bakery and say, "Oh, I would so much like to live here. You have such, you don't," and it's the same many times, and it's true. They say, "You may not realize because you are always here every day, but when you come here and you live outside, it's such a nice experience, you know." And we should actually really appreciate this fact and this position. For one way or another, Krishna allow us to reside in this place where he is living. And we should never consider that it's shifting, or it's me, we decide, oh, I come, I live in Radhadesh or not. No, it's not actually. Krishna, you are loathsome person. Why? We don't know. Maybe that's because we are the most fallen, we need the most. But in the same time, we should be very grateful and really appreciate, because it's very, how we say, very helpful for our spiritual life, to have this daily possibility to interact with the deity, with Radha Gopinath. So maybe you have some question or commentary on the verse on Vishnu, no? It's okay, yeah. Important point. Of course, many times when we think of serving the deity, we think of the Brahmanic occupation of people who cook in the kitchen, or who do the arti, or change the dress. But actually, it's not limited at all to that. In fact, in a Vedic culture, when in each village there were temple with deity, everyone was very conscious that the center of everything was Krishna. And even people who seem actually to do something very, you may say, away, far away from, it's actually, we should develop the consciousness that whatever we are doing, either, you know, cleaning the field or whatever, it's always for Krishna, because Krishna is the owner of the community. So we should not be so, sad in a sense, oh, I would like to be a Brahmana, I could dress deity, it's so personal. But you have experience of actually devotee. I was thinking actually, because I read this book written by Vyasaki, you know, about Radha. What is the name of the deity? Radha Damodar Vilas, the pastime of Radha Damodar. And he speaks mostly a lot about Vishnu Jana. He was someone at this time celebrated as the best kirtaniya. Was very, everyone was attracted by his chanting, the mantra, and he was constantly chanting, but he was also worshipping very privately and personally the deity. But I was thinking more of Jayananda. You know, Jayananda is the person who start actually the Ratha Yatra in the West, in America. And he was a very unique person in his way. At this time, the devotees, they were mostly very young, like 20, they were joining, they were 18, 20. And when he joined, he was already like a man. He has a job with a taxi driver, and he was 30 years old. And this person was actually very, very pure. And he was known to be working extremely, extremely hard. Constantly walking from morning to night, even during the night, he was sleeping just a few hours. And we know his story, he left his body because I guess so. He must have pushed so much his body that
cancer.
He got a cancer and he died quite a young age. And it was the first example Prabhupada make this statement when he died, that we should put his picture on every time there is a Ratha Yatra in the world. We should always put I don't know, is the flower or what? But yeah, Prabhupada really acknowledged his service, and he really acknowledged him to be very elevated. He even wrote a post, how you call post, and after he died, a letter to him. But if you see what he was doing, mostly he was not, he was really rarely in dhoti. He was always in a work clothes, very mushy, because he was doing mechanic, and it doesn't appear, and he liked one of his best activity. I don't know, was the flow or what. He really liked to to clean the garbage. That was one of his main action he liked to do, was pressing the garbage and cleaning. So you may think it's really like very ordinary. But Prabhupada addressed him really as someone unique in society, and to make understand the other devotee that he was a very advanced Vaishnava, so much that sometime, because he was working so much, that when he was coming, Prabhupada was coming, so he come to see him, and as soon as he sit, immediately he was starting to sleep, and the other sannyasi said, Jayananda, it's Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, when he saw that, he said, no, let him sleep. He worked more hard than all of you together, was saying. So he really loved him very much. Although he seemed not to be so, to come to the point, brahmanically involved, engaged, in fact, he was much pleasing Krishna by his attitude and by his service. So the service is not, I want just to mention this, not so important. If we realize actually that we always serve Krishna, whatever we do can be the most pleasing to Krishna. That's very important. And there is no frustration on this level in a community, that every single person actually, it's by his devotion and love that is pleasing the Lord, not by what he is doing. So we always have the chance actually to please Krishna on the altar. So I have to put my bread in the oven, so I will close now. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Go Premanande. It's true.
It's so much attachment for the journey, but it was not really what he was doing. When the theater left, and he at least one time was like to front, and he was very, very happy for the journey. That is also, but it is a nice last point that you don't have to journey to serve. But still, it was actually also a big part of his life.
In a sense.
Was
Ramadan,
and the Jainanda was Lord Jagannath.